The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right. I'm going to ask everyone to turn to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Last week, I started this message, buy and do not sell. There are a few things in life that I would say buy and do not sell. But this scripture makes it very clear what we should buy and not worry about selling, that we should hold on to it. In fact, we should get rid of everything we have to obtain these things. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 says, Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. And last week I talked about truth and how important it is to buy truth, to get truth. Of course, we know you can't buy something like that, but the writer of this proverb is trying to explain to us the importance of truth. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding. These things will change your life. It'll set you on a course that will make you prosper in all that you do. Merriam-Webster says that truth is the real facts about something, the things that are true, the quality or state of being true. It also says a statement or idea that is true or accepted as true. And we know, we all know that there are some things that are accepted as true that are not necessarily true. That's why we need to have a standard. And I talked about this extensively. We need to have a standard of which we measure truth. And that standard is the Word of God for us as believers. The world has other standards that they measure truth with. But this thing is the ultimate truth. And we measure truth from this. And when we measure truth from this, I can guarantee you, you cannot go wrong if you line up with it. Okay, so the next thing, number two that it says here, is that we should buy wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. What we want to understand from this particular scripture is that wisdom is the principal thing or the most important thing, according to Solomon. He believed, the wisest man that ever lived, believed that wisdom was the principal or most important thing for a person to have. And when he's talking about wisdom being the principal thing, the Hebrew word here means to get, acquire, create, or even buy. The connotation is to get, acquire, obtain, buy. Get it, purchase it if you have to. Do whatever it takes. Sell everything you've got to get wisdom because it's the most important thing. Wisdom is lacking in our society today. Wisdom is lacking in our world today. Now, we're real wisdom. Now, man's wisdom is not God's wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to discern what is right and to make sound judgment based on discernment. Now, Larry Lee says this about wisdom. He says, wisdom is God's given ability to perceive the true nature of a matter and implement the will of God in that matter. So it's all about the will of God. Real wisdom is about doing things that are within God's will. Sometimes we think we have wisdom about a situation that is not necessarily God's will. And if it's not God's will, I don't care how good it sounds, it's not real wisdom. Wisdom is so important that we need to do whatever it takes to get wisdom. The problem is it's impossible to purchase wisdom. It's impossible actually to do anything to acquire wisdom. And we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But you can begin to have wisdom. And we'll see that, understand that from the Word of God. Wisdom is something that we must always be seeking after, because we want to know God's will in every situation of our life. I encourage people, before you make any major purchase in your life, that you should seek God's will. You know, you need to know, is this God's particular will? It may not be a bad thing for you to have it, but is it God's will for you to have it at this time, or for you to make that particular move? You don't know what the future holds, and God does. If you purchase something, you make some kind of a major purchase, like a house or a vehicle or whatever, that thing could tie you down and keep you from moving in the perfect will of God for your life. So it's extremely important that we hear God's direction on this. And you know, when it comes to church, it's important that we pray and get God's wisdom. As the elders, we have five elders, right? Five of us elders in this church. And when we come together as elders, we don't vote. I mean, get that voting thing, get just completely out of your mind. This is not a democracy. This is God-driven, okay? So when we come together to make decisions about this church, we ask God what He wants. We discuss, we talk about the direction, we get everybody's input, and sometimes people think one thing on one side of the matter, and someone else thinks on the other side of the matter. We don't stop there. What we do is, before we make decisions, we come to a consensus, and we ask God to give us the wisdom that we can do this thing the way He wants it done. And that eliminates arguments. It eliminates the need to have long, drawn-out discussions when you find God's perfect will in a situation. Many years ago, when we were, when this church had moved from the Silver Ridge, and we went to Tupper's Plains for a year, and we knew that our lease was up, and we were going to have to leave there. And we were looking for a place that we wanted, that we could have our church in. Well, Mike Norman found out that Chester was available. Now, here's what I want you all to understand. It may not seem like such a big deal today, but it was a big deal to go to Chester. That place needed lots of work, and pay $1,500 a month to have service there. We left Silver Ridge, didn't pay anything. Went to Tepper's Plains, we had to pay $800 a month. We left Tepper's Plains, the church down there, or the building down there, he was asking $1,500. It was a step of faith. So I want you to understand, you got to get, today it seems like nothing, because we're paying for this building. But back then it was a big deal. So when we looked at it, you know, not everybody was on board. Not everybody felt like, oh man, we need to jump on this thing. There was some that did, some that was kind of on the other side. No, maybe that's a little more than we can bite off. But we prayed about it. This is what I want you to understand. We sought the face of God. And in God's wisdom, when we all sought God's wisdom and God's direction for this thing, we came to a consensus that it was God's will for us to do that. And let me tell you something, when you move in a direction knowing that it's God's will, it removes all fear. Yeah. You don't have to be afraid, because you know God is in this thing. Yes. So we went there, and praise God, that's all history. And it took a lot of work, a lot of effort, and praise God, we just continued to move and grow and accomplish what God wanted us to accomplish. But the thing that I want you to understand is that sometimes in our natural mind, we think we have the wisdom to deal with it, when in reality, we need God's wisdom about our situation, about what we should do. So, wisdom. First thing we're going to look at with wisdom. is that fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Fearing God. Now, some would say, "Look, Pastor, you know, we're not supposed to fear God. You know, He's our loving Father." And I would agree with that. He is our loving, compassionate, wonderful Father. And I had, when I was growing up, I had that kind of a father in my household. A loving, kind father that wanted nothing but good for his family. But I can tell you this, if I got out of line, my loving, compassionate father turned into a fierce disciplinarian. Because he knew what was best for me. So here's what I want you to understand. There was a time with my father that I had certain amount of fear. It was really reverence for him. And that's what the scripture is saying. Reverence your heavenly Father. Fear him enough to know that, man, he could squash you if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to. He loves you too much. He's going to direct you. He's going to chastise you as you need to be chastised to set you on the right course, to direct you. But the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we must have that certain amount of reverence for our Heavenly Father. I'm telling you, the church doesn't reverence God any longer. We don't respect this. We don't look at it the way it should be looked at, as the holy, inerrant, infallible Word of the living God. We don't reverence this, and we don't reverence and fear our Father. If we did, when we came into a worship service, we'd fall on our knees before a living God, recognizing that we are here in the presence of Almighty God. That's the power that we need to recognize. Where we are and what we're doing. Fear your God. Love Him. But don't fear your circumstance. Don't fear your situation. Don't fear what He's going to ask you to do, because He loves you enough that He's only going to ask you to do things that are good for you and His kingdom. A young lady was talking to an evangelist, and she said, "You know, I want to serve God, but I'm afraid to commit wholeheartedly to Him because I'm afraid that He might send me overseas someplace to be a missionary or do something like that in my life." And the evangelist said to her, "Well, let's think about this a little bit. If a sparrow came to your window in the dead of winter, pecked on the window, and you knew it needed some food, you opened the window and you took that sparrow in, would you crush that sparrow in your hand? Or would you care for it and love it and nurse it until it was healthy and able to go back out into life?" And she said, "Oh, I get it. That's how God is dealing with me. That's how God loves me. He wouldn't crush me. He wants to build me up." Came back about a year later, and this supposedly is a true story. An evangelist came back and was talking to this same young lady, and she said, "You know, I made that commitment to serve God with all my heart, and He has been dealing with me, and He's been directing me, and let me tell you how He is just building me up and causing me to have faith to serve Him and to please Him. In fact, next month I'm leaving for China to be a missionary." Wow. You see, you know, the thing that we fear the most sometimes in God, it's the greatest opportunity for our life to build the kingdom. Encourage the kingdom. Let me tell you, I want you to understand that when God called me to pastor, it was a great fear in me because I didn't want to stand. That was one of the things I hated, was being in front of people. I didn't want to stand up in front of people and say anything. I just liked to sit in the back and be left alone. But because I loved my God and I wanted to serve Him, I knew that what He had called me to do was not for my demise, but to build me up and encourage me and to help build His kingdom. That this is the place. If He called me, it must be the best place for me to be. So what we have to do is not allow fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Not allow fear to keep us from moving forward with our God. It's the fear of God that gives us the wisdom. Not the fear of our situation, our circumstance. So number one, we're going to fear God, not fear situation. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So we have wisdom when we fear our God. Wisdom increases by doing God's will. Now we're talking about wisdom and getting wisdom. We want to understand wisdom. Psalms 90 verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." New Living Translation says it this way, "Teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom." We need to grow in wisdom. There's too many people in the body of Christ that do not have the wisdom of God for the direction of their life. And if we're that way, we're like fish out of water. We're just flopping around, flopping through life, hoping that we'll land in the right place so we can swim on. That's not God's will for you. God has perfect direction and will and wisdom for you. Life is pretty short. You know, we get 70, 80 years. Some believe we can have 120 according to Scripture. Well, regardless, it's just like a moment in time. I can't believe. You know, in my mind, I'm still a teenager. Well, I don't want to be a teenager. It's a little older than that. My teenage years were not the best. But in my mind, I'm still young. But you know, my body tells me something different. Hallelujah. You can all identify with that, huh? God's Word encourages us to recognize that life is short. So since life is short, strive with everything you've got to get the wisdom of God for the direction of your life. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 11 through 27. Hallelujah. Ivy, I'm going to be wrapping up before too much longer, so you might want to go ahead and... Luke chapter 19. Beginning with verse 11, it says, "Now as they heard these things, He spoke another parable, because He was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately." They were all expecting the kingdom of God. They thought, they believed, many of them believed that He was the Messiah. Therefore, their belief system, things that they had been taught for years, was that the Messiah was coming and He was going to set up His kingdom immediately on the face of the earth. They missed the Scriptures of the suffering servant. "Therefore," He said, "a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, 'Do business until I come.'" In the King James, it says, "Occupy till I come." This "do business till I come" is a very good rendering of that, the Hebrew word there. "But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' Jesus was telling me exactly what was happening with him. You know, what was going on. He had his disciples. He called them. He sent them forth into the world. And the world wouldn't receive Jesus. They hated him. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. Okay, we're going to stop there, because basically what we're looking at here with this scripture is that these people were giving something, giving money to do something with while their master was gone. We have been given resources as believers to do something with while our master is gone. He is not here any longer, but he is coming back. I can guarantee that our master is coming. Yes, he is. Jesus is going to return. And the way I see things, he's coming back soon. Are you ready? Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? Are you doing what he told you to do? Are you occupying till he comes? Are you doing business till he comes? Or are you doing your own business till he comes? I'm not talking about being in business. I'm talking about if you are in business, are you doing what God has called you to do? You know, he may call one person to be a businessman and to make lots of money for the kingdom of God, to sow into the kingdom of God. And he may call somebody else to be a minister, and those two hook up, then the kingdom of God is built up. That's the way God works. So if you're in your calling, if you're in your place, praise God. I don't care whether it's business, whether it's in the workforce. I don't care where you are. If you know that you're where God has called you, keep doing it. But if you have some inkling that you're not where God has called you, stop doing it. But get God's wisdom before you do. Don't just walk away. Hear what God is calling you to do. Be in that. God wants you in His perfect will. All right. So as we look at this scripture, what we find out is that some of these people did what they were supposed to do, and Jesus said, we're going to add to you. One of them took it and hid it away instead of even putting it in a bank so it could get interest. And the master said, you wicked servant. Wisdom is using what you have. You do not listen. The Word of God says that your steps are ordered by the Lord. Now, when you have ordered steps, that doesn't mean he's not going to show you the end result. Thank God he didn't show me where I would be and what I would go through to be pastor of Bethel Worship Center. And my life's not over, thank God. We're moving forward. There's lots of things to be done, and I'm glad I don't completely know the future. I just know He has the future.
Yes, He does.
So as I understand that my steps are ordered, then each step that I take, God has ordered. If I trust Him, and I can walk in assurance and trust that my God is directing that step.
Yes.
That step. That one step that I just took. That's the step in the right direction. The next step will be in the right direction when we are in God's will and we are seeking His wisdom. So when you take that step, you recognize there's wisdom that is added to you because you're walking in the ways, in the will of God. So wisdom grows in us. Wisdom is something that we acquire. It increases as we do the will of God. The next thing, wisdom is supernaturally imparted to believers. Psalms 51 verse 6 says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Basically, what the scripture is saying is when we chase after God, He has promised us that He's going to give us wisdom. There's some biblical examples of that, and that is Solomon is a great example of chasing after God. Early on in his life, as he became king of Israel, he was a young man. He didn't know how to lead this nation. And God came to him in a dream and told him, ask whatever you will. And Solomon said, give me the wisdom and the ability to direct this people. And God was pleased with that. And God gave him such wisdom that the Word of God says in Kings chapter 10, verse 24, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. The queen of Sheba came from Africa because she had heard of the wisdom of Solomon. When God's people cry out to him for wisdom, he imparts wisdom to us. It's supernatural. It's not something you can gather on your own. You must get it from Almighty God. And you get it by seeking the living God. In the first chapter of Daniel, we find Daniel and his three friends. They're in captivity. They are taken out of their home and brought into the nation of Babylon. That was the premier society of that day. They thought they had the wisest of the wise in their courts. So what did God do? God took three or four Hebrew young men and dropped them in the midst of that society so that he could show Babylon they were much more ignorant than they realized. He used these young men to speak into the lives of people. Now listen, this is an example for the body of Christ today. God is taking you and placing you. If you're in His will, He's going to give you the wisdom. If you ask for the wisdom to deal with every situation that comes your way, God is going to use you in this pagan society. I'm sorry, but that's the reality of where we live. We're living in a pagan society all around us. He's going to use you to speak into other people's lives and bring His kingdom to life. Amen. Because of wisdom that He imparts to you. Anybody getting this wisdom this morning? Come on. Hallelujah. You are such a quiet group this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold. Solomon said this after years. God not only gave him wisdom, but he said, listen, I'm going to give you riches and honor and everything that goes along with it. And this is what Solomon said later in his life. He said, it is much better to get wisdom than gold and all the riches. It's the greatest investment is when we get wisdom. Who gave him this? Of course, God is the one that gives, that imparts. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, it says this, in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them, he was talking about Daniel and his friends, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. That, I believe, is the mission of the church, of believers of Jesus Christ, that we will be found 10 times wiser than all those who are around us that do not know Jesus as a personal Savior. You have a promise. God wants to do that for you. He wants to impart that to you. Ask. That's the last thing this morning that I want to say to you. Ask and you shall receive. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Ask. We'll receive it when we ask for it. When you ask for wisdom for any situation, I believe God will impart that wisdom in your life. He will direct you. He will tell you, yes, you should or no, you shouldn't. My God speaks to me. I know people think you're crazy when you say God speaks to me, but you're crazy if God doesn't speak to you because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. If I take up residence at Otis' house, he's not going to expect me to just sit around in the house, is he? First of all, he's not going to want me to take up residence in his house. But if I was there, he said, I'm welcome. Hallelujah. Be there tomorrow, brother. But if I was in his house, this is my house. This is your house. If you have somebody living in your house, how rude would it be for them to just sit around and never talk to you? It's pretty rude, isn't it? Holy Spirit lives inside of you, John. He speaks to you. He'll be rude if he wasn't talking to you. He is talking to you. He is talking to every one of us. Do we have ears to hear? Are we listening to what he's saying? Do we have enough wisdom? See, that's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've got to get that wisdom so that we have enough wisdom to hear what he's saying to us for other areas of our life. To be directed, to be given all that he wants for us. Truth is, Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Of course, man there is gender neutral. He's talking about people. Happy is the person that finds wisdom. You can be happy, content, excited. Listen, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to get the attitude every morning when we get up that we're glad to be alive. That we're happy for the direction that God has for our life. Man, some of you may be in circumstances that are not good. I understand that. You may be in a work situation. It's not a good thing. Ask God for wisdom and direction, what he wants you to do, so that you can be where he desires for you. But I could tell you this. Our desire is not always God's will and wisdom. Sometimes he places, let's say you're a Christian working in an office someplace or a plant, and there's no other Christians there, and you're being ridiculed. What better place for you to be? Now, that's easy for me to say, isn't it? I don't work in a plant. I'm a pastor. I'm surrounded most of the time with Christians, but I've been there. I've worked construction, and I can tell you how horrible it can be sometimes, how foul-mouthed people can be, how rude they can be. But if you're that person, listen, God placed you there as a light. Be that light. Be everything. Use all the ability you have to shine light to the people around you. If you truly want out, ask God to give you a direction, to open doors, to show you, to give you the wisdom to know how to deal with your situation and where to go from there. Our God desires to bless his people. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant. Superfluous, more than enough, more than we can even imagine. That's the kind of life Jesus has called you to. An exciting, incredible life where you can fulfill the desires of your heart as you seek the will of the Father. You see, if we don't have the will of the Father in there, you're going to fulfill the desires of your heart that have nothing to do with Him. It's got to be within the will of the Father. And when we do that, life can be an exciting challenge. Oh, there's always going to be challenges. Life can be an exciting challenge, but the results are always kingdom building and kingdom directed. It's about the kingdom of God. That's what our life is all about. It's not about us acquiring things. And I hope you have a bunch of things. And I hope they're all paid for. Because I don't want you to have a bunch of things that keep you tied down. Things are okay as long as you're not over your head in debt. Glory, I'm speaking to the choir in here, right? You people know this. You know that's not God's will for you to be strapped down. Debt, you know what debt is. The lender is slave, or the borrower is slave to the lender. We understand that. So your stuff is okay as long as your stuff doesn't have you. And have you bound up and pulled down. But what's more important is, what are we doing for the kingdom of God? I know people that have all the toys. Christians who have all the toys. But those toys are costing them so much every month because of their, what in the world? Praise God, that's all right. Stuff happens. I just couldn't figure out what was going on. Sounded like Twilight Zone. It's good. Praise God. As I was saying, they're so strapped that they're not even able to do anything for the kingdom. We don't want to be there. I want God's people to recognize His blessings are for you to use, to be content and to walk in His will for your life, this abundance that He has called you for. But most important, it's for the kingdom to be established and built up. The kingdom, so that people can come into the kingdom of God, so that souls will be saved, so that people can be taught to walk in the ways of God and recognize that families can be healed, people can be delivered, drug addicts can be set free, the chains that are on the people on a daily basis can be torn off by the power of God. These things can happen when God's people get serious about His kingdom and His wisdom. It's His wisdom that gives us the direction for these things. Stand with me. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." In James chapter 1, verse 5, the scripture is very clear. If you lack wisdom, ask. If you lack wisdom in anything, if you ask, God's going to give it to you. If you ask in faith, believing. Proverbs 24, verse 14 says this, "In the same way, wisdom is pleasing to you. If you find it, you have hope for the future, and your wishes will come true." That's a New Century Version. You have hope for the future. If you have wisdom, there's hope for the future. We need hope for the future today in this world. In our nation, we need hope for the future. My hope for the future is in the wisdom of God, not in the wisdom of man. I don't care who the Republican Party puts up, who the Democratic Party. I don't care who independent runs. If they don't have the wisdom of God and seeking the wisdom of God, I do not want them as president. We need leaders that have the wisdom of God. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't believe that a president that is a believer is going to save our country. It'll be help. I mean, a real believer. I'm tired of these phonies. It would help. But the thing that's going to make a difference in this nation is when God's people turn to Him. We understand what Chronicles says. It's His people that He's looking to repent and turn to Him and pray. His people. And when His people do that, revival will break out, and the people who are in darkness will come to the light. That's what we need today, is God's people turning to Him, repenting, and serving the living God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And we're not going to do that without the wisdom of God. See, it's the wisdom that gives us the understanding of what God desires for us. We're headed into some difficult times, but we're headed into some exciting times as the Church of Jesus Christ. I have a clip that was given to me by Dan and Carlene from Perry Stone that I'm going to incorporate in this message before I wrap things up. But basically, I'm just going to tell you, Perry Stone at one of his conferences said that he believed that God was giving this nation another chance, particularly His people, but the revival would be a rural revival. It wouldn't be in the cities, it's going to be in the country. That's where we are. We like to hear that, huh? Now, I don't know what you think about Perry Stone. As much as I've followed Perry Stone, I believe he's a good man, a godly man, and he is truly seeking to serve God. I don't agree with him 100% on everything, but there's no one out there that I do. And if you agree with me on 100% on everything, you're just a yes person. Because we all have our own ideas about some things. But when the Word of God, when it comes to the Word of God, we need to know and be in agreement on the Word completely and totally. So anyhow, I just want you to know, I believe God's doing some things. I believe God is stirring this congregation. I believe God is doing a work, and He is going to call down His fire on a people who are seeking after Him. And if we ask for His wisdom, as this thing begins to unfold, we will do exactly what the Father wants us to do, to minister to those who come into this congregation. But we need to prepare ourselves. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to bow your head this morning. Father God, hallelujah, You're an awesome God. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Father, as Your people come before You this morning, we stand here asking for Your wisdom, Lord. Pour out wisdom. And as You give us wisdom, as we begin to walk in that wisdom because we fear You, and You begin to pour out that wisdom on us, Lord God, we just ask that You help us to take every step in faith, believing and knowing that You are directing and adding more and more wisdom to us. Lord, that Your kingdom will be established, that Your power will be released, that the Son of God will be lifted up, that all might know and see that He is the Messiah. Lord, today we give You glory and honor, and thank You for Your direction. Thank You for Your wisdom. Thank You for Your power in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to have healing, a prayer for healing, please come up. We'll pray with you. Ask our prayer warriors to come up. They'll share with you if you have a need, you have need for special prayer, you need to hear from the Lord. I'll speak into your life. Hallelujah. You're dismissed.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about the ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.